Stand Out for Jesus by Virginia Brandt Berg.
I received a letter that touched my heart. It was from a mother who wrote about how her son seemed to be slipping. He was in the service overseas. His letters showed that he was slipping away from the family moorings and from the Word of God. He was not like the young man who left home, and she begged for prayer. It's not easy to be where the soldiers are encamped together, at the battlefront together. There are lots of temptations. Some of us as Christians are not willing to come out for the Lord, and to be so deeply dedicated and absolutely surrendered to the Lord that we speak boldly for Him. We ask our young soldiers to be bold about their witness and their testimony when they are in camp, but I wonder if we are always so bold. The Bible says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." But we're not willing to be the least bit despised for him, though, are we? What I mean is speaking out when we should for the Lord, and not being afraid of man, daring to take a stand for what is right and for God's word. But he was despised. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, this wonderful passage in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. You might be quite familiar with it, but I wanted to draw attention again to what Jesus suffered for us, and yet how little we are willing to suffer for him. Jesus died that we might have liberty. He was poor that we might be rich in spiritual things, and yet we are not willing to sacrifice for him. I say, dearly beloved, that to be a secret disciple and make no personal, public testimony is not being a dedicated, consecrated Christian. Some of us are so afraid that it would make us seem peculiar or different from the crowd. Isn't that so? We have heard so much about the dedicated communists and their cause, and they are certainly dedicated, super sacrificial, super determined, and super active, that's true. Too many of us, however, are passive, and our senses are somehow dulled about our duty to stand out, to speak boldly for the truth. The 6th chapter of Ephesians talks about this boldness. "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak." Oh, that God would give us boldness, that we might stand out for the Lord Jesus Christ, and take such a definite stand that we're utterly fearless about what people say and think about us. I think we're just dulled by luxury and prosperity and all our gadgets. Our senses are dulled by what we see and hear of crime and sex and the world on TV. Our conscience is dull because we have become hardened by constant contact with it all, and we don't do anything about it. But when I think of Jesus, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And as it says in 1 John 3:16, he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How I pray that God will raise up more people who will acknowledge God as sovereign, the Bible as our guide, and and who are free from the fear of man, that they might be willing to die for some of their convictions. You know, among professing Christians today, there isn't this boldness. So many try to figure out just how far they can go and yet not hurt their reputation, how far they can stand for Jesus Christ and yet not in any way make themselves seem peculiar. They don't want to be real outstanding Christians for fear of being called fanatics or fools for Christ's sake. They want to be very dainty and aloof in their Christian walk and not disturb anybody. Unlike those who walked with Paul, of whom it was said, "These are they that turned the world upside down." They were called disturbers, all right, but their names live to this very day, and their influence is still felt, while the passive compromisers that are drifting around today are just drifting into oblivion. I believe the Christian life is a devoted, dedicated life. You know where the power lies in a Christian life? In that very thing, in the depths of its devotion, in the height of its consecration. That's where the power lies, in the extent of its dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a dedicated life doesn't figure on moderation. It doesn't figure on saving his reputation. He doesn't say, "I'll just partake a little of this and that, but I will be moderate." Instead of that, he sets the force of his entire life towards that which is the world's hope, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he won't compromise. I know people like that, folks who take that kind of stand for the Lord, and my, they are brave souls. The issues of Christian living need to be more sharply defined than the world defines them. They have to stand out sharp and clean-cut and be clearly defined. There is a tendency today on the part of Christians to cut corners and bend rock principles to make them fuzzy and uncertain. But the kingdom of God is founded on absolutes, absolute truth, absolute candor, and absolute sincerity. "Thus saith the Lord" is what a Christian stands on. So far as Christ is concerned, the Christian must face the question of whether his allegiance is one and undivided, completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therein lies the power of the Christian life. Its influence and its blessing lie there alone. The greatest cause in all the world is this precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't any place for a chameleon character that changes color with every crowd and melts into their surrounding world without any convictions or moral courage. Of course it will cost something. The espousal of every great cause has cost something. Some of the greatest of men have risked everything, even their heads, to courageously declare their allegiance to Jesus Christ. I want to close by asking, do you have the moral courage to take your stand openly for Jesus, and at every opportunity give expression to your Christian conviction, no matter what the cost in popularity or position? There is a heroic element that is necessary today. When the opportunity arises, do you come up with that heroism? The cause of Christ is suffering today because of half-hearted Christians. The great army of God is engaged in a life struggle. So, what will you do? And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at tfionline.com.